done. I want to thank our choir and Pastor Dan so much. Were you blessed? Amen, amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. I want to take a few moments this morning to go over some of the passages already read earlier, but some thoughts. There are a lot of lessons that are found here in Mark 16, but I'm just going to focus on two big ideas and let the Lord, as you through the week read through it and contemplate it, He can not only remind you of these lessons, but also allow you to learn many, many more. So the first one here is pretty simple, coming straight out. It's a fact. It's just a fact. You remember the old detective show, right? Just the facts, man. That's exactly what we've got here. And the fact is simply this. Because Jesus lives, I didn't say if, it's because Jesus lives, we can live also. Because Jesus lives, we can live also. Let me hear you say it. Because Jesus lives, we can live also. I didn't hear anybody say it. Because Jesus lives, we can live also. Thank you. Now, when we think about that, we think about living. What do you mean I'm living right now? Well, we are alive. God has given us life, blessed us with life, allowed us to be here. But unless we have been born again, the Bible talks about renewed from the inside, we are not alive. We're actually walking dead people. And the Gospel of Mark, it's interesting that it would come to this at the end, because at the very beginning of this Gospel, it's so exciting to see how He calls us to be fishers of men. He calls His disciples to go and fish. Why? Because if you fish, if you pull a fish out of water, what happens to the fish? The fish dies, but not in a spiritual sense. Jesus is trying to teach a lesson that all of us, all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. We're all dead in our trespasses and sin, literally, not physically, but spiritually dead, but we will die. And so He says, go fish for those dead people, pull them out of there with this good news of Christ, and bring saving faith into their hearts and lives. Because Jesus lives, we can live also. Jesus paved the way. He was able to overcome. I don't know how many of you remember the name Harry Houdini. How many of you remember Harry Houdini? Okay, for those who don't know, he was an escaped artist. Actually, he was a magician. I was reading up on him, and he used these escape things to kind of get people into his show so he could do some of his magic acts, which included some of his escapes. They put him in handcuffs. They put him in crates. They put him in jail cells. They even submerged him in water in a closed box. They even submerged him one time in this like big aquarium on the stage, upside down, chained up in the water. And he got out every time. Harry Houdini was amazing. He escaped everything except one thing. Harry could not escape. On October 21st, 1926, Harry Houdini died. Can't escape death. You can't do it. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't know anything about Harry Houdini's spiritual life. I'm not even going to talk about that. But I can say this. All of us will die one day, physically. But Christ came so that we cannot have to die spiritually. Amen. He's provided a way, because Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave. We too can overcome through Him. So Jesus took on the ropes, put on the handcuffs, went in the box, hung upside down, chained. Boom! Nothing could keep Him in the grave. Amen. But He overcame death. Mark 16 provides plenty of witnesses. We read a few. We've got the Marys here. You got the first one here, Mary Magdalene. What a story she has, right? I mean, even later on in the chapter, it talks about that Mary Magdalene, she was the one that was cast out seven demons. Seven! One's bad enough. Can you imagine having seven inside of you? She had been freed. I would say she's a devoted disciple of Christ. She knows who He is. She loved Him. She followed Him. She was part of that all her life. She wasn't going to be put up with some kind of imposter who pops out of some grave saying, I'm Jesus. No, No, she was a witness to her Lord. She knew her Lord. She loved her Lord. She would not falsely testify against him. She was a powerful witness. Then you got Aunt Mary here, the mother of James and probably James and John is what we're talking about here. Most likely sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But so we have Aunt Mary here, most likely, and James and John, close witnesses as well. We have Salome, and we have all these individuals. We have the angel himself. Then we have the disciples later on. And then if you read in some of the other passages, we've got 500-plus witnesses. We have got an abundance, almost an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the testimony and witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here we have Jesus lives. Yeah, it's not up for debate. Because Jesus lives, you and I can live also in him. But this salvation doesn't come through just knowledge. It's not just because I understand it. It doesn't come because I might even believe that it's true. It doesn't come because in honor of that, I came to church or I do good things. As was read earlier, it's not by those works that we've done that bring us this great life, this eternal life. It is by trusting in him, Jesus Christ, his finished work on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, him alone, that salvation comes. It is a step of faith. That's how we can live also. We can't come through it ourselves. If I was just buried, trust me, if you put me in chains 6 feet under and put dirt all over me, I'm not coming out. All right? You need to know that ahead of time, and I need to need a long tube with some air or something. It's not going to happen. But there is one who overcame, not just surviving in the ground, he came out. And because of that, you and I can have eternal life, but in him and in him alone. He is the oxygen, so to speak, by which we can live forever. Amen. So that's one fact. Second fact is this: because Jesus calls, what do you mean? Well, later on in Mark, this part wasn't read, he commissions people to go. And he wants them to go and tell and speak. And they go into all the world. They want to proclaim this good news, this gospel to everyone. And so he gives them a call. Now he's talking to his disciples. Certainly the ones that were mentioned here. But it's much bigger than that, right? It's all those who have believed and trusted in him. It's not just, man, this is good. I'm so glad I've got this great thing here. He says, yes, you do have a great thing. But you now have a great opportunity and responsibility. We need to take this to others. They are in the ground, dead. They are in the water like fish. They are swimming around, but they're dead. You need to go give this gospel and pull them out. So we have this whole idea that the second is because Jesus calls, you and I can live by faith despite the fears and doubts. I don't want to get all technical on you, but if you have your Bible, your written copy, you probably have a notation after verse 8, 9 through the rest of the chapter. Now, we're not going to get in. There's some manuscripts that don't contain the latter part. Can I just get over all that and say, I believe it's the Word of God. I believe that it was there for a reason. And even if they did borrow, which the gospel writers did borrow from themselves here and there, it's accurate of what it did. Christ did come. He did, in other Gospels we read that, and he did give them the commission to go. You can look to Matthew 28 if you want to read that. But I think maybe, for those who say maybe it ended in verse 8, there's a good point. Because we have this trembling and astonishment that seized them, for they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And that's how it ended. Wow, that's a bummer of a book. Imagine ending like that, and they all died. All right, let's go get something to eat. No, we don't want to do that. But there's something about that, because I think there's something powerful being said here, maybe not right up front, but we think covertly it's clear. The life of faith is not a life that does not have stresses and fears and doubts. If you're here today and by faith you have trusted in Christ and Christ alone for as your Savior for salvation, you understood that you're a sinner. You understood that your sin that keeps you from God. You've told that to God. God, I know I'm a sinner. I'm confessing to you my faith in what you've done for me. And I'm trusting in Jesus alone. You are a child of God. That's great news. But I got some other news for you. That great salvation doesn't keep us from the doubts and fears that come in life. And if you're walking around today with all this guilt, let me help remove that from you today. The Holy Spirit can help you with this. I want you to go back to those witnesses one more time. So let's talk about these great witnesses that we see. We got Mary Magdalene. We got Mary, the mother of James. We got Salome. We've got these disciples. What did they do? Oh, man, it was awesome. Let's read what they did. And they went out, and this is verse 8. They went out and fled from the tomb. They were trembling and astonished. They had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That doesn't seem like a very good response to somebody who just came up out of the grave. If you go on, you can read where in verse, I believe it's 11, Mary Magdalene had come, and she went and said that, but they heard that he was alive by her voice, and it says there at the end of verse 11, they would not believe it. Wow, okay, this book doesn't end too good so far. Now let's go to 12. Now there, Jesus appears to two disciples, and he appeared in one form to them. They were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest, but the rest did not believe them. So you have fears, you have doubts, you have unbelief, you have all these things going on. And you go, wow, what happened? Life. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We trust God by faith. And sometimes fears and doubts come in, depending on circumstances in our life. They come in, we all fight them. But the great news is that we can still, because Jesus calls us, this one who resurrected from the dead, this one who overcame all death, hell, and the grave, because he did that, we calls us, his calling us assures the fact that we too can live by faith despite our fears and doubts. Amen. These same folks that struggled turn the world upside down. And so can you. And so can I, despite our fears, despite our doubts. Oh, these folks just struggled. They struggled so much. You say, I don't have much faith. I don't have much faith, Pastor. I don't got much at all. Well, I've got great news for you. A lot of them didn't have a whole lot of faith either. You remember the story. This is when Jesus was alive. And they brought him. A man comes running and says, hey, Jesus, man, my son is messed up. He's got all kinds of issues. He gets filled with demons and things are going on and he just rolls around and Jesus had a long day. He was kind of put out with it, not the man so much, but he had a long day with people. You ever get to the end of the day and you get home and you just have about this much patience? So you can relate to Jesus, can't you? He had a long day. And so he says, man, you people just don't believe nothing. I'm just so tired of this. He says, Lord, my son needs healing. And he comes, and the son just goes off, right? Land flail all over the place. Wah! Jesus goes, does he always do that? Yeah. And he goes, well, if you would only believe. And what did the man say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. My friend, it's not the volume of your faith. It's the object of your faith. Oh, amen. What are you trusting in? Oh. Don't trust in culture. No, I say this with all reverence. Don't trust in the church. Don't trust in me. Trust in the one who could save you, the one who overcame hell, death, and the grave. And that same God who did that calls you, calls me, those in Christ. He calls us and says, go and tell. Even in our doubts and fears there, because you're like, oh man, I can't say anything to anybody. Listen, that word going and telling, that the idea of making disciples, we get that mixed up a little bit. Listen, this has to do, it's an ongoing action as you are living your life. I remember when I was younger, I got that kind of mixed up a little bit. There's a lot of great preaching, but I got the idea that if I wasn't beating on doors every night in the neighborhoods, I was not being a Christian. And God helped me through the Word of God to see, listen, Keith, there are so many people you run across in your life. As you go, share this gospel. I just wonder if we took a few moments, and we're not going to do it, but if I gave all of you a piece of paper and you write down all the people that you contact in a week's time, what kind of a list might we have? My friend, no guilt, no shame, no anything. It's simply a call by God, and this God who resurrected from the dead has called you and me to go and tell. And the power that resurrected him from the grave is the same power that indwells us through the Holy Spirit to give us all that we need to share this good news that Jesus lives.
Hallelujah.
And they can live too. Victorious Savior, victorious salvation, victorious power. So there might be someone here, it's possible, that hasn't received that. I want to ask you right now, what's keeping you from trusting Christ? Really, what is it? Is it that you don't believe the facts? The facts are indisputable. I mean, people are always arguing the Bible and all this. But I tell you, there's more evidence to the existence, to the death, the burial, and the resurrection, I can't speak, of Christ than any other event in history. What's keeping you? It's not the facts. Maybe you're holding on to something and you think God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. My friend, you need to just put away your pride, recognize your sin, and realize you have a Savior that loves you and is offering you salvation now. Would you trust Christ as your Savior now? Late last night, I was just moved to do this, and I'm going to go ahead and do it. Amen. Sermon's over. This is what I've titled an emancipation, God's Emancipation Proclamation. This is for my brothers and sisters in Christ, and it also is for a challenge and a call to those who may not know him. You are invited any way you want as the Lord leads, to clap, to amen, to whatever. Don't run up here and do any flips, though, and knock me over. But I believe we need to hear this. I have to admit, I was inspired by rereading Abraham Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, so it's going to have a form like that, but I've changed a few of the words. God, speak to us, please. Whereas on the first day of the week of the year of our Lord, 37 AD, let it be known that all persons held slaves to sin within any providence or designated parts of this world, shall by an act of saving faith in Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, in his finished work on the cross and resurrection from the dead 3 days later, shall then be thenceforward and forever free, free from the penalty of power of sin and that executive government of heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, will recognize and maintain this freedom of such persons who have been declared righteous by God's grace, and will do no act or acts to repress such persons or any of them in any steps of faith that they may make to receive their actual freedom from sin through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Yes. That the executive will on the first day of the week where Christ did rise from the dead by proclamation, if any, in which the people in rebellion against God, being held in captivity of their sin, any one of them who desires to be free from such slavery shall find emancipation in Christ. Any such person who by his own free will comes to Jesus, declaring his trust, his faith in Jesus for forgiveness of sin, will be declared righteous in the sight of God and no longer in rebellion, but shall receive a new citizenship from heaven, signed by God himself, bought with the blood of the Lamb, sealed by the Holy Spirit. They shall now and always be forever a part of the family of God. This proclamation is sealed in the name of Jesus the Christ, which is said of him and his ministry in fulfilling the original mission of God. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels from the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all are things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to his bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to assist them that are tempted. Amen. And that the Father in heaven hereby enjoins upon the people so declared to be free, to abstain from all their sin, to labor faithfully for the mission of God. For he desires that no man, no woman, no child shall perish from this earth into a Christless eternity, but that all should come to repentance, to share the eternal reward and the love of God forever and ever. Whereas there is no more sin, where there is no more sickness, no more death, suffering is defeated, loss is defeated, cancer is defeated, pain is defeated, death is defeated, hell is defeated. This is made possible through the Son, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. So that this people from every nation, from every tribe on earth can live free. Let each man, let each woman then in Christ stand and courageously declare to death's face, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day of resurrection, let it be proclaimed that no man live in fear of what man can do. For the psalmist says, then my enemies will turn back when I cry for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I'm not afraid. What can man do to me? Amen. From this point forward, let it be proclaimed that every man and every child call upon the name of the Lord. Let he or she take up their cross and follow Christ. Let each person consider how to inspire one another towards love and good deeds. Let each one trust God by faith, walk by faith, live by faith in the Son of God, who died and rose again, rose up out of that tomb to give us eternal life. Amen. Let no one fall prey to the lies of the evil one or to the lies of our culture, which would seek to keep you a slave to sin and a rebel to the kingdom of God and his Christ. They would seek to have you deny the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But remember the words of the Apostle Paul, who said this: "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how could some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ isn't risen. And if Christ not be risen, what am I doing here? The preaching's in vain, and your faith is vain. Yea, we're all found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God. We've raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ not be raised, your faith is in vain. You're all dead in your sins, as am I. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are most miserable of all men." But now is Christ risen from the dead. We are all men most all. And he became the first fruits of them that slept. We therefore do not jump foolishly into the darkness by faith. No, we jump by evidence, by reason, by testimony, by witness into the light of God's truth. Jesus Christ, he is risen from the dead, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. Our King, our Savior, is alive. If there be anyone under the hearing of this proclamation this first day of the week in the year of our Lord 2023, who has not heard that the God who made them is the same God who seeks them to save them from their sins, and that such persons must be born again in Christ, let them hear now. Let them hear now. For every person is born into this world is lost and in need of salvation. Lost because we are sinners, and the consequences of our sin is eternal death, eternal separation from God, his heaven, God's people, forever and ever. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This salvation comes not as a result of the knowledge of God's love or a belief in the existence of God's Son, but in a transfer of faith from one person to the Savior, Jesus Christ. Anyone, anywhere can be made righteous when you trust in the righteous one for your salvation. Let us repent. Let us trust, and let us receive Jesus, our Savior. Today, proclaim together, we now and forevermore, Jesus, he is risen. He is risen indeed. And all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. This we declare among these many witnesses here today. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.